Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. We would like to welcome our guest today, Myesha Malone King, back to the show. As you may recall, Myesha spoke with us in season 7 about Crohn's disease. And am I saying that correctly, Myesha?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Myesha is a passionate, dedicated advocate, and she's perceived...
Received.
She's received, I can't talk.
Okay.
Proclamations from states for recognition of her advocacy and IBD awareness. Hello, Myesha.
Hi, Myesha.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, always a pleasure to be amongst you guys and on your podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, and again, thank you for coming back on this show and taking time out of your day to spend with us.
Yes.
It's been a while since we last spoke, but we've been keeping up with you on social media. Can you start out by first telling our listeners what severe asthma is? And then I know we're going to be talking about you or a family member.
Well, we're talking about myself and my daughter.
Okay.
We both have two different forms of asthma. My daughter has something called athletic asthma, which is normally induced or brought on when you do athletics. My daughter is, she's a competitive double Dutch speed jumper.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So she well, before COVID, she was very passionate. They was in the process of raising funds to go back to the Apollo Theater. Every year on December the 3rd, they have this big competition with double Dutch jumpers from all over the country, from Japan, Australia. They all convene at this one place, the Apollo Theater, to compete for the top number one double Dutch team in the world.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and getting to the Apollo is big.
Sure.
So, I mean, wow, kudos to her.
Yeah.
Like, she loved it, but since COVID happened, she's not as athletic, and she really misses being, you know, athletic. And something that's important to me is because pre-COVID, it seemed like everything was okay. When COVID happened, in January the 26th, I found out that me and my whole house had COVID.
Oh, wow.
We took all the precautions, wiped down constantly, washing our hands, and we got COVID.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Me so sorry
and my kid was asymptomatic.
Okay.
My husband wasn't. He had all the symptoms, couldn't taste, couldn't smell. And I noticed when I recovered from COVID, my asthma bothered me more.
Okay. Okay.
My asthma was brought on, it didn't turn to asthma from bronchitis. They thought I had bronchitis in my left lung, but after extensive tests, they had diagnosed me with asthma.
Okay.
And when was your daughter first diagnosed with
asthma? She was
asthma?
First diagnosed in 2015. She was competing in a competition, and they called me and had to rush her to the emergency room because she was having severe chest pain. She said it felt like something was sitting on her chest and she couldn't breathe.
Wow.
Oh,
that's terrifying for her and for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Myesha, what are the symptoms associated with severe asthma? Like, I didn't know chest pain was one of them.
Well, it varies from person to person. Me personally, I experienced chest pain, wheezing. I can't really breathe. Like, it feels like with every breath of air that I intake, it feels like my lung is crying, like my lung is crying to be rejuvenated with fresh air. It like I get lightheaded, I feel dehydrated, disoriented. Like I feel nauseous at the same time, but the one that bothers me the most is when my chest hurt. Because when my chest hurt combined with trying to breathe or trying mm-hmm. to catch your breath, it's a feeling unlike nothing I can really ever explain. And the way that I found out I actually had it, because like I said, they thought I had bronchitis, but after more tests, they found out it was asthma. They gave me 7 breathing treatments.
Oh.
In order to get my breathing back to normal, because I couldn't breathe. It just felt like no matter what they were doing, my lung was not getting air or oxygen. And it's one of the most painful feelings in the world, because with every gasp, I was trying to talk and explain and I couldn't, because I was trying. Right. Like it sounded like, I'm going to try to demonstrate it. Like when I breathe, it sounded like I was like,
okay.
And like with every intake, it just felt like it was just so hard. And I always keep my pumps on me. I have a I have a go-to pump, mm-hmm. and then I have an emergency pump.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now my go-to pump is, you know, if you have asthma or bronchitis, there are pumps that you take every day as needed.
Right. Right.
My emergency pump is a pump that I would take in case in the process of a severe asthma attack that works a lot quicker.
Okay.
And I've heard that recently a lot of people take, and I'm trying to think of what it's called, the red one, is their rescue inhaler.
Albuterol?
Symbicort. And there has been a recall because it can become clogged. And that's, you know, you need that when you need it.
Ironically that you brought that up, I actually was on Symbicort. I was on Symbicort for 2 years, and I had a problem with me coughing up mucus because mm-hmm. the medicine used to get caught up on my throat.
Oh, so it's not even getting to where it needs to be.
Right. It would look, every time I would go to the doctors, I would have inflammation and like white, I don't know what to call them. It was like white spots. Like
right.
From the medication, because it was not going where it needed to go. And because it did that, it caused me to end up with several upper respiratory infections.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
So
does a nebulizer make it easier or more effective?
I had to fight to get a nebulizer.
Okay.
I tell you, step therapy is something else, but that's another story.
Okay.
My nebulizer actually helps me better than my pumps.
Okay. Sure.
Like I would prefer to get on a nebulizer than to take my pump, because it seemed like it works better to me.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I think
it aerosols it more,
yeah,
right?
It aerosolizes it. Yeah. Yeah. I can see how that could be more beneficial. But the fact that you had to have so many treatments before you were able to breathe, I mean, that's severe, asthma.
Yes.
Did they put a thing on your finger to tell you what your blood oxygen was?
What my blood oxygen level was. My blood oxygen level went up to 120.
Wow.
Whoa.
It kept going. Like it was bad. Like it was really bad. And you won't believe what brought it on though.
Hmm.
What?
I was eating freeze pop.
What was that? A freeze pop?
Yes.
So was it like a vasovagal reaction?
Oh, maybe.
Or was it
Do you think maybe the cold?
Was it nerve or
you know the little freeze ices that you
Yeah.
It was one of those, and I was eating it, and then I started getting a tickle in my throat. Whenever my asthma was about to bother me and I'm about to have a coughing spasm, I would tickle in my throat. So I ate the freeze pop, and then all of a sudden my throat started tickling. So I immediately grabbed my Symbicort, took it. As soon as I sprayed the Symbicort, I had a coughing fit and it would not stop.
Okay.
I literally coughed for 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Nonstop.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
They kept asking me, was I okay?
Mm-hmm.
They kept, you know, telling me, I was like, I can't breathe. So he was giving me my pump and stuff. So because I couldn't breathe, I'm only 5 minutes away from the hospital. I walked to the hospital, non-breathing and all, because I thought if I walked, it would help relax me, you know, while I'm walking. So when I get to the emergency room, the lady ain't even checked me in. She just took me straight to the back and put me on the machine.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, because that's
scary.
I got to the emergency room. It was just bad. I was gasping. Mm-hmm. It was like, right. And I just broke down what I wanted them to know because I couldn't talk. It was just bad.
Well, I'm glad that that triage nurse got knew you back what to there do. Right away. Right. Yes, right. That's great. Terrifying, but yeah, good that she did that.
Pardon me, excuse me. Maisha, how has having a child with asthma affected your ability to raise your child or children and allow participation in recreational activities?
Well, I'm more cautious than I was before because she has asthma. So before mm-hmm. she even leaves out the house, we take precautionary measures. We give her breathing treatment before she leaves. We make sure she takes her rescue inhaler with her as well as her go-to inhaler. And then she takes 2 puffs of her go-to inhaler. Now the inhaler that she has is orange and it flips over and okay. she has to breathe it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Obara.
Oh, yeah, right. I've seen it. But is it like a powder that she has to like suck in?
No, it's okay. Mine's is powder. Okay. I can show you what my pump looks like.
Okay.
Because
yeah, I was gonna say when you go to the
I have to breathe it in. This is the purple box it comes. It's called Flexinone Propionate and Solimetrol inhaler.
Okay.
And when I take the top off, I have to breathe it in and hold my breath for 3 seconds in order for the powder to
work.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I am thankful that there are medications out there that can, you know, make a difference.
Right.
Because, it sounds like a very challenging condition to work with, but you guys seem to have it under control. And even having the emergency treatment available is great.
Right. Are there any other adaptations that you could make in your household to make it easier for you and your daughter?
Like air filters?
Like air filters.
We have air filters. We have air purifiers throughout our house because our houses were built in the 1920s. So they're old, antique. So throughout my whole house, we have purifiers and air purifiers in every room.
Okay.
That's great.
That's good. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And how common is uncontrolled asthma and what kind of, we've already kind of talked about the treatments, but is it a common thing and is it common in your family or are you two the only ones?
Well, I would say it's kind of common and it's kind of not common because my mother had bronchitis. My sister, she was born with asthma and outgrew it.
Okay.
My brother has bronchitis and my father has bronchitis and me and my daughter has asthma.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's breathing problems in the family line.
Right.
Yeah.
So you, at least you knew what to kind of expect.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you said that you guys all had COVID. Did COVID make things worse?
Yes. Let me tell you, I can't even walk from here to the bottom of my step without having to catch my breath, and the heat makes it terrible. Like, I've never had problems breathing or walking in the heat. I love to walk. Now I can't even walk for 5 minutes without having to take my inhaler. Like, it's like COVID really affected my lungs. Like, I often find myself having these bouts of coughing, and it most of the time happening in the middle of the night while I'm asleep. And like, I've noticed that when I breathe in air, I can't hold my breath as long as I could before COVID. Like if I hold my breath for at least 5 seconds, I'm going to start coughing.
That guy, excuse me for interrupting. That guy that we interviewed from the Netherlands.
I need more than that.
he was a health coach, and he came up with some kind of a breathing technique, laying on your stomach.
I don't know, but I was going to ask.
I know in the hospital,
can respiratory therapy help?
Right. I know in the hospital for people that are having trouble breathing, for some reason, it doesn't make sense to me, but they laid the people on their stomach.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was about to say when I had to take breathing treatment exercises, they had me lay on my stomach. Actually, in kids, the reason why they tell you to give kids tummy time is because when you're laying on your stomach, it allows your lungs to fully expand. So when you're getting a fresh breath, and it goes straight down, it's the way that the position is.
Okay. So that does help. Positioning does help.
Yeah. And I've also heard about, like, you play the drums.
Like percussion.
Percussion.
To open things
up. Open
up
your lungs. They have this little thing. It's shaped like an L, and you just blow. You blow in it.
With the bubble that goes up and down.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It works really good, especially if you do it every day, because it lets you know what your levels are, and you can train and your lungs practice expanding and closing as you breathe.
Okay.
Wow. Good advice.
Yeah.
Well, Maisha, what treatments have been prescribed for your daughter, and where you guys live, is that an area with good specialty doctors, or do you find yourself having to travel to find them?
Well, actually, no. One of the top hospitals is only 20 minutes from me, John Hopkins Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. John Hopkins is 20 minutes from me. MedStar Health is 5 minutes from me. And University of Maryland is 6 minutes from me.
Oh, that's wow.
Perfect.
You're, great central location.
Close to all hospitals. Well, my girlfriend, like I said, she normally takes prednisone.
Okay.
Right. And her pump. But she hasn't had problems with her asthma in a year because of the treatment.
That's good. Going. Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's
glad to hear it.
Well, are you part of any online support groups?
Yes, I am. I'm in a few support groups for asthma on Facebook, and I follow a few advocates that advocate for asthma and chronic illness and mental health on Instagram. The reason I joined these groups, I mean, I know I'm a patient advocate, but I always like learning more and learning different things and about other diseases and chronic illnesses.
Sure.
And I joined these groups to see, for one, if anybody had related symptoms like I did, or if anybody had the experience of how they were diagnosed like I did. But I more so wanted to hear other people's stories, you know? I wanted to hear what it's been like for people that's had the condition longer than me or my daughter. And I wanted to feel like I were not necessarily in their shoes, but it was more relatable for me to understand asthma versus me trying to learn it on my own. As far as going to the doctors and stuff, I just felt as though I related better by hearing other people's stories.
Makes sense.
That's fantastic. And what has been the biggest challenge when dealing with asthma?
Not knowing when I'm going to possibly have an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Sure. That's got to be scary.
Are there certain triggers that you know for sure will bring one on?
Like, are allergies a trigger? Or like you were saying, cold. Does cold weather or hot, you said hot weather, is difficult?
Humidity, coldness. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes nothing brings it on. I'll just stop talking.
And what role have friends and family played in your life and your healthcare journey, and what other support systems have you found to be helpful?
Well, my husband and my kids are my number one support system, along with my sister. Like, they're the best. Like, they just the best. I can't even praise or give them enough medals for the love and support that they give me and go above and beyond. My daughter went out recently with her jump rope teacher, and her jump rope teacher was talking about the COVID vaccines. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, Miss Kim, she was like, my mommy, she was like, I know I'm protected. She was like, but my mom's going to have to get another vaccine. She was like, because my mom, she was like, my mom's immune compromised. And she said, if I get it, she said, I would end up having to go home, and I could potentially give that to my mother. She was like, I'm not going to do that. She was like, my mom's immune compromised. She was like, her immune system sucks. So if I could protect her better, I'm going to protect her better. So she'll go out with two masks on, some gloves, and got all her stuff in her bag.
Oh, wow, that's like, amazing.
They're just the best. They're the best support system. They just the best.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, kudos to them.
Yes.
And kudos to raising children that are so supportive.
Yes, yes. Hugs for them.
Yes.
Myesha, what's the best advice that you've received in dealing with severe asthma?
The best advice that I received dealing with asthma is it might seem bad, but it's not always bad. And what I mean by that is you can hear me having an attack and having a coughing fit. But just because I'm coughing doesn't necessarily mean that my asthma is going to trigger or that I'm going to have a attack.
Okay.
Something could have initially went down the wrong pipe. I could have just be coughing from post nasal.
Right. Don't panic yet.
Okay. From post nasal dripping, stuff like that. And what I mean by that is it's important to keep track of your triggers so that you know for yourself what can possibly bring on the asthma.
Right.
So that you can be better prepared.
Right.
That's great advice.
I guess that kind of goes into the next question. Any tips or hints or advice for anybody else living with severe asthma?
Can you repeat that, please?
The question was going to be what tips or hints or advice do you have? And I think you just started covering
that.
Yeah, you were covering a lot of that. Any other advice for people with asthma?
I know sometimes it might seem like a bad day, but just always remember the sun always shines the next day, and that's another day to be a better you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can tell you're a patient advocate because you have that positive outlook.
Right.
Which is fantastic.
Right.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you wish others would know about asthma? You know, like, let's say...
People that don't have it in their family.
Right. So that they're aware of what you're going through?
It's a more complicated lung disease than most people think. Like, most people hear asthma and just be like, oh, I just got to take this asthma pump. But you have some people who asthma is more severe where they require oxygen. Mm-hmm. You have some that develop COPD. You have some that develop where, you know, their asthma done been so bad to where that, you know, they only have one lung. Like, you have a lot of different things that can happen because of severe asthma that's not really talked about.
Okay.
No, I think more awareness needs to be brought to it because it's more serious than what people think.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that leads me to my next question. How can people learn more about your advocacy work?
You can learn more about my advocacy work by following me on Instagram. And my name is Game of Crohn's and Chronic Illness. You can follow me on Facebook by Myesha King. Or you can join my Facebook group, Game of Crohn's and Chronic Illness. I'm always available 24/7. So give me a shout out or inbox me.
Well, I hope you get to sleep sometime.
Thank you. Yeah, and we do appreciate everything you do online.
Yes, for sure.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me again.
It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Yes. Always a pleasure.
Yes, and your children are so lucky to have you in their corner.
Thank you very much. They're my babies.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.